It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now to ultra running and what it takes to be an endurance athlete. The North Country National Scenic Trail spans 4,800 miles across 8 states from North Dakota to Vermont, includes a more than 200-mile segment through our Wisconsin North Woods. And Brad Burkle of Middleton set a new fastest known time on that segment by running nonstop for more than 3 days. Join in on running 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Brad, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Well, you've run several Ironmans and other very long distance races. What made you think you could run more than twice as far as you've ever run?
Ego, stupidity. I had helped a friend run the same stretch of trail a couple years ago, and I enjoyed it so much and saw her have success that I thought, you know, yeah, I think I can give this a shot. And so I tried last year and I failed miserably. So we gave it a shot again this year, and I think it turned out all right.
What was the difference? How did you achieve it this time when you failed the first time?
I got overwhelmed by stress leading up to it last year. I think I didn't have the confidence I had this year going in. I was worried about having enough people helping me. I didn't sleep very well at all leading up to it. And I think it just took a toll on my body even before I started. So I only made it about 100 miles.
That really says a lot about having a support system around you to help you do this.
Yes.
Can you explain a little bit about what it takes or what that support system is like?
So for me, like a traditional ultra marathon, you know, you have, you'll have aid station or a regular marathon, a long course triathlon, you have aid stations set up. There's crowds, there's other competitors. But when you're doing a solo effort like this, having someone run with you to keep you safe is important. Having an aid station, we set up basically a mobile aid station with a vehicle. So they would drive, 4 or 5 miles down the next time I would cross a road or something, and they'd be there to help me, excuse me. But since I'm running for such a long distance, those people need sleep. Those people need to rest. So I had 9 people with me this time up north, and I think that was the right number, at least for me.
I love asking this question, and it's not like, why do you do it? But what do you think about while you're running hundreds of miles? What's going on in your mind?
That is actually one of the goals of the crew, is to keep my mind off of thinking about what I'm doing. Because thinking about how much you have left, how much you hurt, all of these things, it's no good. Everyone doing an ultra marathon, they've experienced before these like dark periods where you can't think of anything else except how much you still have to do. And it's overwhelming. So I try not to think about any of that. So just talking with my friends in the woods ends up, being a very good distraction and keeps me going.
How are fastest known time records verified then when you're doing this solo and not as part of a structured race?
So the fastest known time was set up by a pair of gentlemen who created the website, and they set up some rules for how they wanted to receive information. But this was set up before GPS watches and smartphones and things. So originally people were just taking photographs of places on the trail, and it was more, the ultra running community tends to be open and supportive. So it's more, on your own honor. Mm-hmm. But over time, people have been starting, carrying GPS watches and tracking the whole run. So they generally request some sort of pretty specific data that shows when you started, when you finished, and all the places you were in between.
Brad Burkle with us, endurance athlete, ran a more than 200-mile segment of the North Country National Scenic Trail, crosses northern Wisconsin on its route through eight northern states. Join in on your questions about developing a running program, how you are training, shoes, gear, nutrition, milestones and setbacks as a runner, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is not scientific. I Googled Wisconsin turkey trots, and I stopped counting when I got to about 90. So let's just say there are dozens of 5Ks this month in Wisconsin. People are going to be lacing up their running shoes, taking these little jogs in communities all over our state during the Thanksgiving weekend. So we should get some tips from the endurance athlete, because some people like to show off in these innocent rambles. 800-642-1234. Brad Burkle is an ultra runner and Ironman triathlete, stays with us. So, Brad, what is your advice for runners whose training is very minimal and might lace up for one of these 5Ks?
Well, we have very little time before some of these turkey trots around Thanksgiving. But if we do want to squeeze in some training, the best thing I would say is to get out and run some hills. Running uphill is very good endurance building and muscle building. But running downhill is even better. It helps you become a more efficient runner by teaching your legs to have a better energy return without using muscle. You're just basically bouncing like a ball instead of actually putting more effort in. So for all of you trying to squeeze in training for these 5Ks, go find some hills and run up and down them as many times as you can.
That's interesting, because I always heard that taking the stairs, of course, it's the stairs that are going up are the beneficial ones, and don't worry about the ones coming down. But it sounds like there are some benefits when you're heading downward.
Yes, it really is like a bouncing ball. You really are getting a passive energy return from the ground. So,
How do you keep moving forward when your body is basically screaming at you for you to stop?
That's a great question, and I think it's partially mindset and partially just being stubborn. You know, if you set out to say, I'm going to finish this thing, then whatever is assaulting you along the way is a minimal nuisance if you set your mind to it. But you're 100% right. Everything hurts. And it's very tough to ignore. And sometimes even I succumb, and I've had to quit just because it gets too much.
How can you tell whether the hurt is injuring you or whether the hurt is just, you know, you having to run through some pain? What is that edge like, that distinction?
Again, that's a tough one. And for each person, it's individualized. But I think a lot of that knowledge comes from just lots and lots of experience. I mean, I've been doing this for almost 20 years. I know what an injury feels like. I've gotten almost all of them. Just general fatigue pain is a little more subtle. And it's something you can turn off and push through, basically.
What are the stubborn injuries to recover from?
The worst I've had is plantar fasciitis. It's just one of those things that just takes forever to go away. That's pretty significant heel pain. Mm-hmm. And it can come on from overtraining, poor footwear choice, having weak calves, any number of things can cause it. But it's a nuisance and a problem. And for some people, it just never goes away, which is very unfortunate.
How important is cross training for preventing injuries like that? I mean, what is your go-to type of cross training?
For me, I came into this long distance running sort of through triathlon. I have always cycled, even training for this 220 mile run, I was usually only running 4 days a week and cycling 2 days a week, along with throwing swim workouts and weight training workouts in too. So I actually probably run less than a lot of ultra runners because I have the choice of hopping on my bike and getting fitness that way.
What about running slowly? Do you encourage runners to train themselves how to run slowly and take it kind of one step at a time?
Yeah, this was a lesson that I learned way too late in my running career. I feel a lot of runners out there, you know, some of it's ego, some of it you want to be seen being, you know, the fast runner. But you should only be running fast on the days that are supposed to be fast, and running a lot slower on your regular days and your slow days, because you're still building the fitness. You're still getting the time on your feet. And it doesn't matter if you look like you're going fast. It's race day where that matters. But in my head, I always wanted to be seen as the fast guy. So I was always running too fast, even on my slow workouts. And just recently, training for these very, very long things, I've learned to run much slower. And I've been injured. I haven't had an injury in 2 years now. So it's actually working out for me.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about long distance running with Middleton ultra runner Brad Burkle. You can join in on questions you have about endurance training, long distances, 800-642-1234. Brad, does weightlifting at all have a role in building the muscle required for endurance running?
Absolutely. And for me, I lift 2 days a week. I'm not really trying to. It's not bodybuilding weightlifting. It's more putting the strength where it counts and making sure you have good stability either in your core or in the intrinsic muscles in your legs, so that when you're especially running trail, you're able to dance over all the, you know, the terrain without causing undue stress on, you know, everything that's hitting the ground.
I love those choice of words, dancing over the terrain, because those trail runs, I mean, anything can really knock you off, whether it's a tree root, a rock, you know, something else. It's not exact. I would imagine that gives you a lot of risk out there when you're trying to navigate that.
That is very true. There's, you know, inherent, everybody's tripping all the time in trail races. But I really feel that there's a much greater benefit to your body running trails too, even with all the hazards there, because you are working so much more of your body, even if you're not running as fast as you would be on the road. So I would encourage, you know, any of the road runners out there to, you know, hit the trails once a week just to get that little change in keeping your body balanced.
Take that, ego. Everyone's tripping out there.
Yes.
So how did it feel to finish the North Country Trail? What was that like to end, to stop running?
The last, you know, 40 or so miles, there was a lot of hiking involved. I was in pretty rough shape. I did have a good stretch of running once the trail has some road sections. So I popped out of the woods onto the road and felt pretty good for a while there. But I had been awake for 80 some hours with only 40 so minutes of sleep the entire time. And I really just wanted to go to sleep. There was no fanfare. There was no excitement. I just wanted to climb in the truck and pass out for a bit. It was relief, though. I did feel a great sense of relief to be done.
Did you feel at all that you had overtrained in any way?
No, I think I had trained perfectly. I had ended up, my run had been originally scheduled for September, and it had been pushed to October, which ended up being of great benefit to me with weather and a number of other things. So that month when we had postponed, I had very minimal training. So I think I maybe had come in like very rested, and I think that helped me a lot. So.
Something that keeps coming up here is sleep. What is the importance of sleep?
I can't speak enough to it. As I've gotten older, I've been getting more sleep. And I think for a normal training regimen, you know, one of the most important things you can do is sleep along with rest. So getting enough sleep is going to help you build fitness. And so but then during the event, especially these incredibly long ones, sleep is it's a problem because you want to keep running, but you also need to sleep. So everyone in my crew was astonished by how functional I was
On no
this time
sleep.
through on such little sleep because honestly they were all exhausted too because they were staying up. They were their sleep schedules were wrecked.
Let's pause. Let's
And
just pause right there with Brad Burkle. Ultra runner in Wisconsin has tips 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We drop in on the world of ultra running. Perhaps you completed the 3,100-mile race in Queens, New York recently, the Sri Chinmoy Self-Transcendence Road Race, 6 a.m. to midnight for 52 days. World's longest certified road race. Join in on becoming an endurance athlete or get advice to make your morning jog more enjoyable, easier on your joints. 800-642-1234. Brad Burkle is a Wisconsin endurance athlete, recently ran a more than 200-mile segment of the North Country National Scenic Trail, stays with us. Brad, let's talk about nutrition. During your very long run, you estimated you consumed more than 28,000 calories. What is your approach to keeping yourself fueled up as you run?
That is a wonderful question. And it doesn't start on the event day. I was targeting 400 to 500 calories an hour. And that's a lot. I feel most runners are shooting, even running a marathon or a half marathon are getting much less than that in. So I spent years actually training my stomach to allow me to eat that much food and also not get, you know, stomach upset. So it starts with the most important thing is training. And then after that, you find things that agree with you and that you crave. Lots of ultra runners get to that spot usually later in a race where your stomach just doesn't want to work anymore. The blood has gone to other parts of your bodies. And just getting food into your body is a chore. It's not really enjoyable anymore. So you're trying to avoid that. And I ate many things that would be considered not super healthy on a daily basis, but for what I was doing, it was exactly what I needed.
Like Snickers, Mountain Dew, I think I'm reading from the list here. I think you should fully divulge.
I had I drank 51 bottles of Ensure, which sounds horrific to most people, and I mostly agree. But they drink very easily. They're not offensive, and they're very quick energy. But also, as you said, I drink more than 30 cans of Mountain Dew, which is a good hit of sugar, and the caffeine helps a lot. And lots of Snickers, lots of candy bars. I was making like some noodle soups and some instant mashed potato concoctions that were all the idea is something that you can that's palatable and that can get in your stomach quick and turn into energy super fast. So sugars are like that and just general basic carbs.
Gatorade, also something you were downing.
Yes, I was drinking Gatorade, lots of endurance drinks, just a whole bunch of everything. But it was it never became too much, which was honestly a first for me in terms of a race setting.
How do you, because you're training your body to do something like that, how do you eat after that ordeal? Because I would imagine then you're trying to nourish the body and be like, oh, just don't mind what that was all about. That didn't happen. How do you re-nourish yourself then when it is time to do that?
It's the same. After big, I mean, I've been, I'm still, it's been 2.5 weeks almost, and I'm still hungry.
Wow.
So it's a lot of, I mean, you really boosted your metabolism. So your body is acting differently. But it's a, again, it's, you know, try to be healthful, but you can really eat whatever you want after a big effort, as long as you're being reasonable about it. But you know, I personally find nachos to be the perfect food post event.
Let's take a call now. Richard in Two Rivers. Hi, Richard.
Yeah, hey, thanks for having me on, and I really admire and respect your guest. But I was a physical therapist, and I used to train people for doing marathons. But what I often saw was sacrifice to their family in their training efforts. And I just want to ask, you know, has that happened to you, or is it a common thing?
That's such an important question, Richard. Thank you. How do you balance that, Brad, training and family?
That is a good question. I am married. I have two young children. And I am in the lucky situation of mostly being a stay-at-home dad. So I have the ability to train when other people happen to be at work. So I have one long weekend day that's a workout that can be most of the day, but I always take Sundays off. So I'm home at least one weekend day, and I'm home to cook dinner, and I'm home to see the kids off to school. So that is my unique situation, which benefits me greatly, but I know it's something that a lot of other runners or anyone training struggles with.
You know, I gave up trail running when I started having kids, and I never got back to it. And how do you get back into it if you've taken like a decade or two off?
I mean, it's really the same as getting back into anything. You start slow. Don't try to be the runner you were
Ah.
when you quit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just pretend you're starting over. You might progress a little bit faster than someone who's very new to the new to trail running or whatever you choose to do. But I mean, really, it's rest more than you think you need to. Start slow and start just a couple times a week and then build from there.
That's such an important piece of advice. I mean, I'm not going back to the runner I was and stop, get that image out of there. That's really, thank you for that. What about
Yes.
shoes? How do you know when a pair of shoes should be retired or, you know, that the fit is okay?
What I do fit is very personal. I happen to have landed on one shoe brand that works for me. But I think, you know, your local running store can help you find a shoe that fits best for your foot. Although, a trained physical therapist, if you have any actual, you know, physical issues, a trained physician or a physical therapist can help you find what you may need in terms of other aspects of the shoe. But in terms of when they break down, I usually just track the miles, because, you know, shoes nowadays, they're built so well that you can't really tell they're falling apart. It's more intrinsically inside the shoe as opposed to, you know, wear and tear on the bottom or on the outsole or whatever.
Do you remember your first pair of running shoes?
I do. They were a pair of Asics in high school that did not fit me, but I like the color.
Color were they?
They were black and purple. I honestly believe my dad might still be wearing them. So,
How many shoes a year do you go through?
not as many as you'd think. I have a lots of different shoes for different uses.
Okay.
So I have a long road shoe. I have a fast road shoe. I have a shorter distance trail shoe, a longer distance trail shoe. So
Ah.
once you have each of these shoes in your quiver, you're not using them as much weekly, so they tend to, you know, last longer over the year.
Have you ever thought about calculating up how many miles you've accrued over the years? Is that possible to add it all up?
I might have it tracked somewhere, and those numbers are great to look at. but they don't mean so much because the mile is just a mile. I don't even track my runs in miles. I tend to track them in the amount of time I was out.
Oh, huh.
Which I feel that's more of a ultra running type of thing. It's much less metrics and more just, you know, get out and do the thing.
That makes sense. Talking about long distance running with Middleton, Wisconsin ultra runner Brad Burkle, you can join in the conversation about running long runs, short runs, getting ready for a run that you're anticipating this year or next. 800-642-1234. Brad, when you were out on the North Country National Scenic Trail, what was it like? What did you see? It weaves through the North Woods.
It does. I cannot, my wife's parents live in the North Woods. And I'm close to that trail. I have been for years, and I did not know it was there. It should be more well-known than it is. It runs through a few state parks, Patterson State Park and Copper Falls. It runs through two protected wilderness areas in the Chemaughin National Forest.
Mm-hmm.
Those sections are just absolutely stunning. We have small creeks, cliffs. We have all sorts of just great natural Wisconsin beauty. I can't recommend it enough. And these sections are small, so it's not something that you have to go and do a very long hike or event through. You can do small, 3 or 4 mile chunks and get a very good feel for it.
How well is it marked?
Most of the trail is marked incredibly well. The wilderness sections, because they're protected, they can't have the standard painted blaze on the trees.
Uh-huh.
So those are a little more difficult to navigate. You just sort of have to hope you see where the trail is. But the rest of it is very well marked. It's very hard to get lost.
Did you ever get lost at all?
Yes. very early in the run, there was a slight navigating error that resulted with me needing to backtrack quite a bit. So I think we added, 6 or 7 extra miles and, an hour and a half of time onto what we were doing.
Was that on you or on your support team?
I don't want to throw anyone under the bus, but it was definitely not on me.
Brad Burkle with us, Wisconsin endurance athlete, and stays with us on running. Join in on your race goals, injuries you're working through, training regimens, shoes, gear, food, what goes through your head out alone on the pavement or the trails. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We make space now for the world of ultra running, distances over your 26.2-mile marathon. Join in on running your first marathon or your first 50K, 100 miles or more on trails, what that's like. Still time for you, 800-642-1234. We have Brad Burkle with us, a Wisconsin endurance athlete. Let's take a call now. Marcy in Manitowoc. Marcy, what's your story on running? Oh, Marcy just left us, unfortunately. We just dropped her there for a moment, but hopefully she'll call back. So, Brad, let's switch gears for a moment here. Talk about weather. How do you respond to rain or severe weather when you're running long distances?
I will run in any weather. I'm an avid winter runner. I love to snowshoe run, not standard big snowshoes, but little snowshoes. Rain can be a hindrance in the woods on the trail. On the North Country Trail, actually, we had fantastic weather until we started on a Friday. On Sunday night, a pretty significant set of thunderstorms rolled through, and we had a lightning strike on the trail 5 to 10 minutes after we had hopped off and started hiding in the vehicles for a bit. So I recommend staying out of lightning. But the rest of the time, you don't have control over the elements, so you just try to deal with it the best you can.
What about clothing? How do you dress out there?
For the weather is the best I can say. I mean, you're never going to be able to stay dry. Sometimes you're going to be cold, sometimes you're going to be hot. Hypothermia is a real concern, especially in long efforts like this. When you get dehydrated, you can get a lot colder than you actually are at warmer temperatures. In a race a few years ago, I got hypothermia when it was 55 degrees out. I had to drop the race. I was in a fairly dangerous spot. So you need to be aware of what the temperature is going to do, especially with the way your body is compromised with lower calories, lower hydration, and that sort of thing.
Do you change out your socks much to keep your feet protected and dry?
I do. On my run this year, I had blister problems that I hadn't anticipated. My feet got pretty shredded. Generally, changing, especially if things get wet, that's a good time to change. If they're just going to get wet again, it's a battle you can't win. So just sort of mitigating the issues is the best you can do. But changing your socks and shoes if you can when they're soaking wet is not a bad idea at all.
Do you have a particular moment on the North Country National Scenic Trail that was really breathtaking or something that you remember running through that is just implanted in your memory?
I there was a there's a section called the Rainbow Wilderness that was part of the trail I hadn't actually run through previously. It's one of those protected wildernesses, so there's no blazing or no signage inside of it. You just have to follow it, and we did it in the middle of the night. There was it sounds silly, but there was a small mouse on a tree branch. And we had headlamps on, so I'm not sure what it was about this mouse, but it just stood there and let me pet it. And I mean, this sounds like an hallucination in the middle of the night, but it wasn't. I was just with two of my crewmates running through this beautiful thing that we could barely see, and there's this mouse just greeting us to it, and it was lovely. All the wildlife up there is wild and great to see. But this strange little mouse took a liking to me, and I really appreciated that quiet moment in the middle of the night in the woods.
I wonder what caused you to think of petting the mouse.
I wanted to, it seemed so still. I felt that I could, so I tried to. I know that sounds moderately insane, but it was many hours of running into that, so.
I bet that was disappointing for you to have to run through the night in such a beautiful place because you missed some really remarkable scenery by running through the night.
Yes, we did. And this time of year, I was only looking at less than 12 hours of daylight each day. So it was lots of night running. And but there's a quality to running at night too. There's a beauty to it. I mean, you just have this small bubble of light from your headlamp and everything going on around you. You just don't know what it is. So it's quiet.
Let's go to Duane in Wausau. Duane, hi, go ahead.
Oh, good morning. First of all, I want to say happy Veterans Day to anybody who served and are serving. Back when I went in the Army in 79, you were out of high school. You were physically fit pretty well, but until you started running every day, you wouldn't think you could run, but every day, 2 miles, then 4, then 5. And then they did LSD running, long, slow distance, had a pack on and boots. And you got in such shape that, you could do 10 miles and there's, well, let's do 5 more. And you never hit the wall. You got, and you would do cadences. You would, during marches or runs, you would like, you would say, I want to be in airborne danger. I want to live the life of danger. And then that actually gave you energy or, I don't know, the lungs. And one other point, Chariots of Fire, when my son was on the cross-country track team in high school, I love that movie, and it was based on Eric Little, Scotland's fastest runner, and very inspirational. It actually inspired him and a couple of his teammates, knock time off your runs. And anyway, I just wanted to bring that up. If no one's ever seen that movie, it's great. Mm.
Oh, Dwayne, thank you so much for the call. And, you know, going to Dwayne's first point that the Army was a really great way for Dwayne to get into running with the distances and the long, slow distance. What are your thoughts there, Brad?
Yes. And I think what he said was important was that, you know, 2 miles one day and then 4 miles the next. And you don't know that you're progressing. But all of a sudden you find yourself in a place where on a weekend you can go out and run 20 miles and it's no big deal. You know, it's not a fast 20 miles, but it's time on your feet in the woods or wherever you choose to run. And it sneaks up on you, your ability to just keep going. I think, you know, if you commit to the training, you get better.
Do you have someone coaching you?
I do have a coach. I've had the same coach for over a decade. He started as my triathlon coach, and he sort of has progressed. He coaches all sorts of different disciplines. I think he has contributed greatly to my success and my health as a runner.
What are you working on next?
I don't know. I'm doing Ironman again next year. So that's my big goal, Ironman Wisconsin. But outside of that, I don't have any giant adventures planned yet.
Does that feel strange to you not to be progressing towards something?
No, it feels it's a sense of relief, I think, that I don't have to do anything, but also I can do anything I want. I running the 222 miles that I did showed me a lot about myself. It's like, well, I can do that. So if I wanted to do something like that, I don't have to be scared of it. I can just, you know, say, well, I did it once. Let's apply that to here. I don't have any plans for any adventures like that, if any of my crew is listening right now. but it's something I can do in the future if I want to.
Well, Brad, this was wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us. Happy trails.
Thank you so much.
Brad Burkle is an endurance athlete, recently set a new fastest known time running the 220-mile segment of the North Country National Scenic Trail crossing northern Wisconsin, the North Woods. Brad has run several 100-mile trail races, 9 Ironman triathlons and counting, lives in Middleton. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.